We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. Appreciate you checking us out on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We are streaming live coast to coast on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented as always by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Jason Bishop. Scheduled to join us here momentarily is Mike Rizzo, the ousted GM and president baseball ops of your Washington Nationals.
I know that they've been texting back and forth this morning, so I know he's going to come on imminently, but I see them just kind of trying to line up the phone lines and make sure it works. I don't know about you, but one of my first questions is, I wonder how shocked Mike was. Because
we'll get to that.
Yeah, because I a lot of people were shocked when this news hit. Is he there? Okay, Drabby's talking to him.
Yeah, I want to know who delivered the news to him.
Yeah,
is it Mark Lerner himself? Or
yeah, let's find out.
Yep.
All right, Mike. Hey, man, how are you?
Good morning. Where I'm is? Doing fine. How are you guys?
Good.
Have you slept well the last couple of days?
I bet a little better.
I always sleep pretty well, guys. But it was a trying couple of days, and since the weekend. But hey, we're all adults here. We're big boys, and we know what we're into when we take these jobs. And we had a hell of a run, and I'm proud of what we've accomplished. And I think I know I did it my way. I did it the way I led the organization and the franchise the way I felt was best to maximize our potential. And we had a lot of success. And at the end of the day, I've said this for years, every year since I've been on this program. It's, you know, this is a performance-based industry. And and you know, when you don't perform up to the standards that that ownership has set, then it's their option to make changes, and they did.
Can't say the S word on the radio.
We should be able to. We should be able to say it, but we can't.
Crappy.
Yeah.
Hey. Yes, exactly. So. That's how I feel, and have had a lot of. A lot of cool emotional interactions with current players, especially ex players and ex staff members, and people that I would not have expected to really have that kind of outpouring emotional response to what we did here in Washington.
Hey Riz,
it was pretty cool.
Riz, the timing of the dismissal kind of shocked me a little bit. It was confusing to me because you guys lost 11 straight, and I thought if there was going to be a move, either you taking out Davey or them taking out both of you, it would have been during 11-game losing streak. But then you went out west and then came back here, played the Tigers, and you went 7-6 in those 13 games. Now, the Boston series was bad because you guys were, outscored 27-9. So, I don't know, just the timing confused me. Were you kind of surprised by the word that you guys were out?
I was a little surprised, but I wasn't shocked. We had Mark Lerner and I talked every Monday since I've been here. So, we're in constant contact at least every Monday since I've been there. And when Ted was here, it was Ted and Mark every Monday. So, we have a pretty consistent communication throughout the season, and I don't think it was based on any one series. I don't think the Red Sox series pushed anybody over the edge, but I think that I think that it was a little surprising just because of the timing. But you know, there, you know, when you have conversations with ownership and you know, they make decisions and you know, when you are in a point where you're you know, struggling in the season, and you're trying to make, you know, make everything right and play better baseball. You know, it could happen. It could have happened at any time during the season. And I had told them when they sat down with me and the owner sat down with me and gave me the news. I said I still believe I'm the best person to lead this organization to a championship. I still believe that. I still believe in the talent of this team. We've got a lot of good young players. We just don't match up with the big boys of the National League and the depth of good players. You know what I mean? You know, I'll put our 3 or 4 or 5 young rookie type of players, young, you know, service time players with any young players in the game. I know we matched up well against the Angels and the Tigers and those type of teams. When you look at how we played, you know, certainly at certain points during the season, we beat the Orioles 5 out of 6, I think. As well as we played in the month of May was as bad as we played in the month of June. And I think that is just the epitome of a team that has 7 or 8 or 9 players that made their major league debut this year, and you've got a bunch of young players on the team, and they just don't have the experiences to be consistent enough and gone through it enough to be a consistent everyday winner.
Joined by Mike Rizzo, the former president and general manager of the Nationals. He's presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. So one of the biggest questions from the fans is, were you given an ultimatum to fire Davey Martinez? Because the perception is that you guys were a tandem, you guys were a pair. And then kind of piggybacking off of that, were you frustrated that you couldn't spend the money that maybe you wanted to?
I think there was frustration to go around for everybody, from ownership to players, to scouting, to development, all that stuff. So yes, there was frustration from all sides, especially when you don't, you know, when you're not playing your best baseball and that type of thing. But I, like I said, I still believe in this team. I still think that they are not far away from competing for a playoff spot, and I think that in the long term, with the young current players on this team, and what you have in the minor leagues, and what this draft is going to produce for you, you know, picking 1-1, I think that this is going to be an attractive job for anybody that wants to come in and really put their stamp on a team that's really close to winning and winning for a consistent period of time.
Mike, you said you talked to Mark every Monday, and you did that for 20 years, right? You also, by the way,
yeah, for a long time.
You had an unbelievable quote where you said, you know, you managed that ownership group for almost 20 years. Did you have contact with others? I mean, I was stunned to see not only do you have learners, but you have like CEOs and CFOs and CEO, all these other people.
Never heard of Gottlieb till this week.
Yeah, you got grandkids. Did you feel like, did you have to answer to those people and sort of kind of all in that? You know, I always just assumed you were kind of safe because you were here. You were the architect of all that success. I never really felt like if there was going to be a change, I thought it'd be the manager. I actually didn't think it would be you. Did you feel like your job was on the line at various times throughout your tenure?
I would think that, I've said, I've been in this game a long time, and it's my 43rd year in professional baseball. And I know how the game is played. I know, I, you know, I've, uh, I've been around regime changes. I've been around people that have been fired before. I have fired people before, and it's never an easy thing to do. I can speak for myself. I've never thought one time that I had to general manage for my job. I think that my resume and my reputation in the game speaks for itself. I think that I hold my head up high by the standards that we have developed here. And remember, we took over from MLB, and this place was a circus act. And
right.
And I think that I did it my way for 17 years. The Lerner family allowed me to have the keys to this franchise and build it and develop it in my personality and the way I wanted to do it. And, my goal was always to achieve greatness, but with integrity and honesty and professionalism. And I think that, I sleep well at night knowing that we did that. And I think that when you pull all the ex-players that we've ever had, all the ex-managers, all the ex-coaches, and a special shout out to every player, every manager I've ever had, every coach I've ever had, every scout, player development dude, trainer, clubby, these people are all so near and dear to my heart that they're as big a part of a championship franchise is as your starting shortstop is, in my opinion, because this stuff to win four division titles and a wild card and a pennant and an LLDS and an NLCS and a world championship in our first 14 years of existence is an amazing feat. And unfortunately, we had to tear it down and rebuild. The rebuild's taking longer than anybody wants it to, but the foundation of this rebuild is solid, it's strong. And like I said, that the person that steps in here is going to see the cupboard's full. You've got guys that you've got some good service time to build around, James Woods and the CJs and the Gores and the Cruises and that group of guys. And we just have to, the next step for them is to add to that core and get more really, really good players, get a deeper lineup, get a deeper roster, and to be able to, withstand the rigors of 162 games in 185 days.
Riz, I don't know if you read the Tom Lavero article that he put out, but
I did not.
Okay.
I haven't read a thing.
Okay.
Here's what I've done. Let me tell you what I've done. Just before your question,
right.
This is my first year in 43 or 50 years. I never had a summer off when we were in Little League. So, my first year, I took my son to the swimming pool on Monday, and right. We went to story time yesterday. So
right,
it's
awesome.
Pretty cool.
All right, but the question I had was, he reported that back in 2019 that the Lerners, they extended Strasburg's contract without you knowing that. Is that true?
I'm not going to discuss, our negotiations with any particular player. Strauss is a national Hall of Famer for me, and one of the reasons that we have a flag up there. But it makes no difference anymore. How the sausage is made. You know what I mean? four division titles, a wild card championship, NLCS, NLDS, pennant, and a world championship kind of speaks for itself on the way we did business. And I think that I look at it this way. Every GM that I know, and I know all of them, and I've known a lot of them that are not doing it anymore. We all have interactions with ownership, and each dynamic is different. And we're all big boys. You can live with the dynamic, or you can leave and not live with the dynamic. I always thought that the Lerner family Stan Kasten, specifically Ted Lerner and Mark and the rest of the family. Yeah, they gave me an opportunity back in 2009 to run an organization. You know, there's 30 jobs like this in the whole world. You know what I mean? And they gave me an opportunity to do one of them. I'm eternally grateful for that. I think I paid them back in spades for the trust and loyalty that they showed me, because I've reciprocated to them, and it's been a great run, and I've got no regrets. There's things I would have done different, but no regrets on how I handled myself and how I handled the organization and the roster and the players.
Well, what would you have done differently, Mike?
I'd have to think. I'm talking about specific signings and stuff like that. You know, there's always 2020 is always 2020 hindsight is always crystal clear. So, you know, there's things that players I would have signed instead of other players and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But as far as the macro vision and the global look of the organization, we get it. I ran it the way I wanted to run it, and with honesty and integrity and professionalism. And you know, I often say that my job is to deliver bad news to players, and I think that when you pull the players that we had, we weren't always fuzzy and lovey-dovey, but we respect each other, and they respected the way I did my business and the way I treated them, because they the players are the reason that we do all this, because without the players, we have nothing. So,
Mike, we're going to promote the second annual Blackjack and Barbecue Bash here momentarily. We don't want to try and drill you down on a couple things, okay?
Okay, do it.
Short answer, because I think you danced around it, and maybe you're still going to dance around it, but were you given an ultimatum to fire Davey that would have maybe saved your job? Because that is what fans think.
Again, not discussing it. We had a lot of discussions over the 20 years I've been here. August 24th is my 19th year anniversary would have been. And so we've got a lot of water under the bridge. We've had a lot of decisions to make. We've had a lot of discussions, arguments, yelling matches, hugs, and kisses.
It's not a no. All
right, so you don't want to answer that. How about this? Did you feel handcuffed in free agency?
You know, the secret of being a good executive and a good general manager is you do the best you can with what you have. And we've all gone through this, whether you're in baseball or in life in general. You do the best with what you have, and we didn't, in ownership's eyes, we didn't do enough with it, and so they made a change.
All right, so I got two questions for you, Mike, and I'm gonna preface this by saying I'm a fan of the team before I am a radio host. So I've always taken the position, and maybe I'm dumb, maybe I'm just, I actually think I am dumb, but beyond that, like, I've always just taken this position that, okay, it makes sense to me. Maybe ownership and management, whatever, decided we're not going to invest a lot of money in this team right now as we rebuild. And as we get closer, we're going to start spending money again, like we did back in the day, you know, when Ted was around. Will ownership, in your opinion, spend money again to make this team competitive, or are we going to become the Pirates? Because as a fan, that's like, I can't even fathom that.
Yeah, I mean, without taking a shot at the Pirates, you know, they haven't won in, you know, since 1979. So, right. You know, we've had very, very current successes, a long streak of them. We had a really a 8-9 year run of it.
No doubt.
I think that separates us from. But you
in the future though
to lump us into a group that hasn't won in years and hasn't been competitive in years. I think that it's a false narrative. I think that this organization is always moving forward. I think when I was there, we had the notice of the national media because of the personnel that we've always had here, and you know, we've had some of the biggest named baseball player celebrities that haven't played in a very, very short period of time in DC baseball. So to answer your question, I hope they do. To me, it's a smart business move to do, because when it's time to go, you should go. And
all right. How about this,
that
Mike?
That doesn't mean to pour in, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on the free agent market alone, but make trades, take on contracts, do a Gio Gonzalez trade and extend them for a long term and that type of thing. So there's ways to do this the right way for extended success, and I think that there's a blueprint on how to do it already written in the files in Nationals Park.
Mike, we've been in the box with you, and I know that I've seen the army of guys with the computers, right? I've seen the computers on the walls with the exit velocities and all that stuff. Yeah. I know you're sensitive to this idea that the Nats are behind the curve analytically. What do you have to say to people, and especially even some quotes from some guys saying, hey, it's going to be totally different now, right? They're going to embrace analytics more. What do you say to that?
Embrace analytics, embrace scouting, embrace whatever you have to embrace. You got to win. And if you win four divisions in 6 years and you win a world championship in 8 years, then you succeeded. And if you didn't, all the computers and all the scouts and all the development people in the world have failed. And there's a lot of ways to win in this game, and there's a lot of ways to build championship rosters, and when you have people with smart ideas and diverse opinions, and that I think that's the healthiest thing you could have. We had it here, and I think that that's the reason we had such success in the organization.
Mike, since you won't be making the pick Sunday, who would you take number one in the draft?
I like that question.
It's a great question. I'm not going to answer it. I got it in my head right now.
Does he have a brother? Does he have a brother that plays for the Orioles?
my opinion has been put in the ballot box with Danny Haas, Brad, and Reed Dunn, and they're going to do a great job of this draft, like they did last draft, and just a little shout out to those guys who grinded out grinded out for 8 months a year for these 3 days, and they're going to have to adjust accordingly at the last moment. So I think they'll be great.
Is it your prediction you will be a general manager next year?
I don't know about that. I would like to lead another organization and hoist a trophy one more time, and to do it with the right ownership group and the right mindset for an organization. I think that would appeal to me. I'm certainly not going to be egotistical enough to think that that people are going to be throwing job offers at me, but my resume and my personality, my background are pretty well known, and if I fit the right criteria for some ownership group, I would be honored to continue to join the fraternity of general managers, because it is a tough job, and you better be ready for the challenge. And I think I was up for it for 17 seasons, and I think that that my energy level, my health, my mind, and my leadership qualities are still at the upper echelons.
Mike, let me say this on behalf of the show and everybody here at the radio station. We've always appreciated your time with us. You've been great to us, And let me now transition into Riz Kids, which you can talk about. I'm kind of bummed because I'm going to be in Italy during the date, August 3rd, but you're going to have a blackjack tournament.
For you, right.
You got the barbecue bash, blackjack tournament entry, $1,000. Can you fill us in on Riz Kids and the second annual blackjack and barbecue bash?
Well, Riz Kids is our charitable arm for the Rizzo Family Foundation. It's at the MGM at the MGM Casino and Hotel. Last year was the first time we did it. My wife Jody runs the whole show. Mike Beasley over there at MGM is a great friend.
He's awesome.
And he really helps us for this event to take off. It's a barbecue party that happens to have a blackjack tournament attached to it where the prize is $50,000 complimentary chips for your $1,000 entry. And it is a blast. We had a blast last year. You have somebody on there, have somebody on your show that was there last year. It was a blast. And, we're anticipating the same, the turnout's going to be great. The turnout last year was outstanding. This year, because of word of mouth, then we've got a great turnout. We're going to expand the amount of people there because of the interest. But the Rizzo Family Foundation and Riz Kids is here to, you know, we're committed to serve the DC community. All the funds and proceeds are targeted to Washington D.C.'s neighborhoods that need this the most. It's a blackjack tournament on August 3rd at MGM Harbor. You don't need to play blackjack to be involved. You just come and contribute and buy a ticket to the barbecue badge. You go watch the blackjack tournament. We there'll be cigars smoked, there'll be drinks drunk, and there'll be food eaten, music listened to, and you'll have current, former players, you'll have former celebrities, you'll have some political people, you'll have some lobbyists, you'll have a whole bunch of
it'll be an awesome time,
crazy people there. It'll be fun.
Mike, we got to run.
Thank you very
much. Go to rizkids.com. You can get your information. It's August 3rd, 5:30 to 9:30. The barbecue bash kicks off at 7:30. You got the blackjack tournament. You're the best, Mike. We always appreciate it.
Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you, Riz.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, guys.
All right, bro.
That's Mike Rizzo, former president and general manager of the Nationals, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
A couple things to mention. Very top of the show at 6 a.m. If you weren't listening, we gave you an update on Cakes. He is still alive in the World Series of Poker. At one point, he was in the top 100. He got interviewed by the color commentator. I don't know what you call her. The sideline reporter for the World Series of Poker.
She was like the room reporter.
You can grab the podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just put in the term Sports Junkies and find out how Cakes did. Again, he's still alive in the World Series of Poker and very close to at least cashing with, I think somebody said about 1,000 players left, 900 players left, something like that.
No, I think the cashing is 1,400.
Oh, okay, so it's more than that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But he's 17 away. So he should, and there's plenty of people. I think Valdez counted like 100 people or something under 100K.
There's a lot of nub and stacks out there.
Yeah, so he should be fine.
And all he's got to do, he can just chill for an hour when it starts.
With 2 hours and levels, he's going to be okay.
Let them all bounce each other.
Let them bounce each other.
Yep.
Play all right. Very, very, very small hands.
We've limited time to talk about this, but going to change topics. Thanks again to Mike Rizzo for joining us. But the Commanders did drop their retro uniforms that we're going to see. We started talking about this last week, and I put up a Surfside poll of the day Surfside iced tea and vodka, Surfside lemonade and vodka. They're the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. You can find Surfside at your local bars and in a convenient variety 8-packs. Your local liquor stores must be 21. Please drink responsibly. And it's, do you like the new look? The retro look, it is. I mean, I think if you're an old school Redskins fan, mm-hmm. it looks like the old Redskins uniform with it's the burgundy pants.
Everything but the
besides the logo, you got the W,
the helmet. Yeah. Yeah, and you guys were grilling me when I said that the silhouette had the W. They're keeping the W up top.
I didn't grill you. Right. I think the W is fine.
Yeah, they got the stripes. I mean, it looks like freaking 1987.
Yeah. Uniforms don't move me that much, so I understand that everyone's going crazy. It looks great.
But you knew that's what Harris wanted to do. He wanted to retro back to those days. You knew it.
I guess. It looks
just
fun.
A matter of what was going to be on the actual helmet, and that's pretty cool.
It looks like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like the colors are a little bit more in line with what they used to be.
Yes.
Hard
to tell.
It looks like, I think maybe just the addition of that yellow outline of the numbers, it looks more like the burgundy versus the jersey, which we have here in studio of Jonathan Allen, which it looks more.
The yellow was diminished.
Yes.
The yellow was taken away. And then they had the stripes. I can't believe the uproar over these things. And I know that people are going nuts. But it looks good.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, you can vote at Junks Radio. Our pal Toby Altheiser tweeted, this looks like the team I grew up rooting for.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't realize how much this would mean to me until I saw these this morning.
Mm. I guess.
It does. I mean, to me, like if I looked at it, I'd go, oh, they went back to the old uniforms. Except for the helmet.
Except for the helmet.
But they got the stripes. The stripes are cool.
But again, I warmed up. I initially hated the black. I like really warmed up to it. And so I know this is alternate, whatever. And some people would like this to be the new go-tos. Fine. But I tell you, I like the black.
I think they're
doing... The black looks pretty great on Jaden Daniels.
They're going to do everything they can to tie today back to history, to the glory years, except for changing the name.
Yeah.
And I know people are all fired up because...
They're not changing the name.
Trump spoke this week, whatever.
They're not changing the name.
They're going to do everything like this without changing the logo and the name.
No, the name's done. The name's shot. And this is cool.
They're doing everything else they can.
I have to say this, and again, this is just me. I don't remember what uniform they were wearing in particular game. Like, I don't remember.
It's not your thing.
Not my thing. I don't know. Oh, they were wearing the whites that day, or they were wearing their yellows when the day when they beat was. I just don't.
There's some people who get very into it. Cakes is like that. You know, I'm going to go back to the gold pants. With
he
the,
loves
you
it.
You know?
I'd be like, who cares? Give me some touchdowns.
But there's definitely, we know this, we're on social media, the culture of what are they wearing today? Are they wearing the white pants? Are they wearing the burgundy pants? Are they wearing the gold pants?
Yeah.
It's a thing.
I think it looks great. It does look closer to what they were, you know, back in the day. So that's great. But, you know, I also thought the black looked great.
I think these look good. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067, or you can text us on the Lido Pizza text line, or hit us up on X, at Junks Radio. We'll be right back.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
All right, so we got the poll up. I originally didn't put it as a poll with a yes or no, and somebody tweeted kind of bitter. Because you can't do it when you attach the picture. It's just the way that, at least, I don't know how to do it on Twitter. So I just wrote the question, and they're like, where's the poll? But I just wrote, do you like the new uniform? You could respond to it.
Right.
But so now I've added the poll with the yes or no. Right now, 89%
yes
are yes.
Yeah, of course.
And you can call us at 800-636-1067 if you want to give us your take on the new, which I'd say they're just leaning into old. It's a new uniform, but it's, you know.
You think Dennis from Reston likes the unis or does not like? Because he's very negative.
I think
he's a negative guy.
He's a negative dude.
He's usually down.
Let's see.
Is he on the line here?
Yeah, he's usually not happy. He's usually kind of grumpy.
Dennis and Reston, what's
Dennis?
Up?
I knew you guys were baiting me right there.
I think he's gonna like it.
No, I do like it. I do like it.
How could you not?
The picture that you guys just had up there on the screen with the three players, if that's it, with the W on the helmet, absolutely, I love it. And Eric, I agree with you what you said about 10 minutes ago. I like the black a little bit, too. I actually kind of liked it last year, but if we don't have it anymore, that's the way it goes. The new uniform's great. Now, if one of y'all can guess, what's the next thing we have to do? Tell me, what's the next thing we have to do with this team?
They're not
sign Terry McLaurin.
Yes,
exactly. Give me Adam. Give me Peter's phone number. We'll have him signed by noontime. I promise you. Okay. That's what we have to do, though. That's all. If we're going to be good to go, I'm happy as a lark about this, man. Yeah.
You know? Thank you. Well, remember, these are just like their alternates. Thank you, Dennis. These are just like their alternates. These are not their weekly go tos. Maybe they eventually will be. But I think teams love to have a variety of different options.
Do. Of course.
They
can sell them all, because that's what they'll do.
I thought the new ones had grew on me enough. They were fine. Whatever, just win. Last year was amazing, and it had nothing to do with uniforms.
Nikki Javala from the Washington Post says that these uniforms will be worn in Week 9 against Seattle, Week 13 against Denver, and on Christmas against the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that'll fire people up.
All right. I hope I notice. All I know is I just want to win. Just win, baby. I don't care what they're wearing.
It's going to be weird. I think she's going to do that game day. It's kind of like a paid internship for the Commanders.
Mm-hmm. Or she works there.
Or
sports information people.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Commander game against Dallas, that's a home game on Christmas, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she'll be working on Christmas Day. So
this is the deal, right? Where she's going to miss all preseason because you guys are on vacation or something?
We're going on vacation. She's going to miss the first two preseason games.
Right. They're still going to keep her? They're still going to take her?
I don't know. We'll see. They might say, you got to work every game. But if they don't, and she works them. But that's going to be weird because she's going to work. She's got to be there probably for 10 or 12 hours. So we might have to do Christmas the next day as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Or do Christmas night.
They do it then. Yeah,
you make adjustments.
I used to do that a ton. We used to do Christmas night all the time.
We never did Christmas night.
Yeah.
We always did Christmas morning, but
yeah,
things
you do Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve before with family. That's always fun. All right, let's go to Brian in Newmarket. Only have a few minutes here. Brian, what's up, buddy?
What do you think, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
All right, so I was looking at them, and I'm like, okay, I'm old enough to remember actually watching them beat Denver and beat Buffalo in those Super Bowls, but a lot of these kids growing up just remember those as, like, I don't want to say losing jerseys, but when you think about it, we had a lot of rough years. I actually had the Donovan McNabb jersey with number 5 on it. I could just take McNabb off and put Daniels on the back, and it's kind of the same thing. So I understand what they're trying to do.
Maybe you could do that. Uniform place? Would they be able to do that? It would look pretty seamless.
Go to a seamstress or whatever. If it's stitched in, I would take it out.
It would look pretty good. Yeah.
Nikki Javala actually put a picture, though, side by side, I guess, of Bobby Wagner wearing the new uniform, which they've unveiled today, and Brian Mitchell back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And they look almost the same.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, they look great. What's not to like?
Nothing surprises me about what they look like.
Yeah.
They wanted to go back to the 80s. That's what they did.
Let's go to Chris. Chris, what's up? Apparently he doesn't like.
Because?
I mean, it's a retread. It's like they reached into the closet and just grabbed the old uniform and it's
that was the idea.
On the helmet. I mean, yeah, it's cool. But, I mean, you know, if they really wanted to do something cool, I think they should just go back to those awesome Spear uniforms that they wore for, I think it was like our 75th anniversary. You run those. Those are awesome.
I think they're trying to stay away from that Native American imagery just to avoid it. They don't even want to deal with it, which I kind of can't blame them.
I can understand it. It just seems lazy to me. It's no surprise how lazy it was, but, you know, the uniform looks good. Just disappointing. Would have liked the spear.
You just wanted the spear. All right. Yep. We disappointed the spear
crowd.
So
if the spear was on it, you'd love it.
Love it. Every day.
All right. It's all about the spear.
You wanted the spear.
I don't know. I think the W,
the W?
It's hard for me to really know because I'm not a true fan, but I feel like the W has grown on the fan base.
For as remarkably simple as it is,
yeah,
it kind of has a look to it. It's kind of recognizable.
I mean, I see hats all the time.
I'm
going to
be
W.
honest with you. I drive by Walgreens and I can't figure it out. My head explodes. Did the Nats steal the Walgreens logo?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But at least this W,
it looks a lot
at
like
least
it.
This W has its own. It's like unique-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For as simple and dumb as it is.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
But at least you didn't steal it from Walgreens. All right. Let's go to. Is it Kawoosh? I mean, what a terrible name, Kawoosh.
Well, hey guys, good morning. How you guys doing?
Your name's Kawoosh?
Is that how you pronounce it?
It's actually Kurosh. I'm named after the Cyrus the Great from the Persian Empire.
Okay. Whatever that was. All right. Kurosh.
Good
All right.
On, good on you, yeah. then.
Yeah,
all
thank
right.
you, guys. So, here, my opinion, guys, I love this new uniform. I don't know why people have I can understand why people would have problems with it because, you know, from 99 all the way till now, these uniforms weren't, you know, during the best times of the team. But if you're a real fan of the team, you love the history, you love everything that goes through, you know, from 1932 all the way till now, these are perfect uniforms. I really don't have a problem with it. And I have also one thing to say for all those people who are so focused
quickly,
on, like, you know, like the name of the team. Don't focus on the name. I saw they had the logo featured in that hype video that they had. They're working with Ryan Wetzel, actually, the grandson of the guy who made the logo. So don't be shocked if the logo somehow comes into play.
They're
in the
trying
future.
To keep it in the background somewhat. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Kurosh or whatever. You know.
I mean, he's got.
I'm trying to be disrespectful.
You
got
are.
A
you
cool
are.
History I mean, to his name.
You should see the way
not everybody
spelled it.
Not everybody. Not everybody.
You should see the way he spelled
not,
it.
Not everybody can have such a silly name like Eric. Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here. B. Mitch and Finley up next on The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes?
Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.